From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Band.video, Rumble, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. You can connect with me through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can find me on Twitter, at Macroaggressions. Big thanks to the people over at Chemical Free Body. They've been with us since the very beginning. Green 85 will get you sorted out if you take that every morning like I do. Just a scoop of it, 12 ounces of water, stir it up, drink it, you're done. It's 5 minutes. I'm telling you this from personal experience of 3 years of taking this stuff. You will feel better, okay? And if you get the detox bundle, it will clean you out. So go over to Chemical Free Body and just take a look, see what you think. I mean, if you find something you like, the promo code is macro. That'll save some money. And Tim and the crew are making fantastic products out there that actually work. Imagine that. Also, to the folks over at EMP Shield, this device works on your house. It works on your car. It works on your generator if you've got one, or motorhome or boat. If you've got any of these things, you can get a bundle package. I'm telling you, this is being proactive to its core. If you get any sort of situation with a EMP, a solar flare, a lightning strike, anything like that, that's what this is for. It's going to protect you. It installs to your house with just four wires, like a type 2 surge protector. You can install it yourself even. There's installation videos on their website. You can have an electrician come out and knock it out for you too. Whatever you want, just go to empshield.com, read up about it, see what you think, and promo code on your way out is macro. An Acapulco this year. Are you coming? February 2024, February 11th through the 16th. I'm going to be hosting the event this year. Super excited about that. Very humbled to go from speaking on the Dollar Vigilante stage to the main stage to now hosting the goddamn thing. Wow. What a trip. I'd love to have you guys out there. I really would. If you go to anarchapulco.com and use the promo code macro, that'll save you like 10% off of everything you're getting over there. But Mexico in February is fantastic. We watch the Super Bowl Sunday night. We get right into it Monday morning, and we go for the entire week. Every day is a different theme, different event. We've got health and wellness there. You've got crypto guys there. You've got the doctors there. You've got the anarchists. You've got the alternative media there. It's a festival. It's 5 days of fun. And at night, it is crazy. Okay. I mean, you ask the people that have been there. I know I met a couple of you last year. I mean, they'll tell you we had too much fun. And we learned a lot, and we met a lot of interesting people from around the world and making great contacts and do, you know, just, it'll keep you sane. It'll recharge your battery. So if you're interested, you go to, you know, go check out anarchapulco.com. Anarchy Acapulco, Anarchapulco. That's how it works. Anyway, it's the 10th anniversary of it. So come on out and check it out if you're around. Boy, it feels like I'm taking crazy pills every time I go out into the world, every time, especially if I get on an airplane. Oh my God. The airport is like a beacon for weirdos and people that have lost their minds and people that are struggling, people that are maybe a little vaccine damaged. You know what I mean? And they're like, where's the gate 22? And you're like, sir, you're right. You're at gate 22. And You know, so you just kind of want to, I don't know. I mean, there's part of me that's like, I just want to, like, you know, just get out of my face. Just get out of my way. Going through JFK was like that. I just wanted everybody in the world to get out of my way. And because their people are falling apart. They're falling apart. I've never seen mental illness on display like this. It feels like it's contagious. Might be. It very well might be. And so I want to call this episode The Normalization of Insanity. And we can piggyback off of the Yuri Bezmenov episode where we're talking about how that's the fourth stage is normalization. And by all accounts, we are in the normalization process. When you see things that you should never see, like a guy taking a dump on the sidewalk in San Francisco while you're having a $27 avocado toast at brunch, like you used to not have to see that if you were having your delicious breakfast. Now it's like dinner and a show, you know, whatever you get, you get. And you're not allowed to complain about it either, by the way. To complain about it is ableist, you know, how dare you? That man doesn't have access to a toilet. Of course he has to shit on the sidewalk. That's normal. And for you to criticize him, you must be the abnormal. You must be the crazy person. No, no, no. Oh, no, you don't. That Jedi mind trick bullshit, it's not going to work with me. It's just not going to work with me. No, you're crazy. You're crazy for normalizing this stuff. You're crazy for accepting this. If you live in San Francisco and you've just come to the realization that, you know, a guy shooting up heroin and then tranking out in the middle of a crosswalk and then shitting his pants and all, oh, that's all stunning and brave. It's totally normal. How dare you criticize any of these things? No, I dare. I dare. A lot to criticize these people. They need to be criticized. We need a group bitch slap of society. Like, get, you know, remember Airplane, one of the greatest movies ever made, when the lady's having the meltdown and the guy shakes her in the seat and he's like, get a hold of yourself, get a hold of yourself. And he like slaps her, right? And she's, and then they pan out and there's a whole line of people down the aisle of the plane waiting to slap her. And even the guy with the big monkey wrench at the end. We need that. Bring that back. We need to shake the shit out of some people because if we normalize this stuff, it's over for us. You know what I mean? It just takes a generation. I don't even know if it takes a full generation. It just takes a couple of years before you get yourself desensitized to this stuff. And all of a sudden you're just walking past somebody that's passed out on the side, maybe dead on the sidewalk. I saw a guy, I locked eyes with a guy that was shooting heroin on the sidewalk in New York. And again, I do feel bad for the people that have danced with the devil in the pale moonlight. You know what I mean? Like you can only play around with that stuff that hard. And I'm no drug purist or anything. I'm no, you know, you shouldn't do drugs. Do it. Do what you need to do within the reasonable confines of your life. You know what I mean? Like if you decide I'm just going to do heroin on weekends, you need to know that that's going to eventually be a full-time job. Okay. You have to know that. You're not the only person that's going to tiptoe around the edges of these things and not fall in. So again, I feel bad for the people that have found themselves in Kensington Place, you know, and in Philly, just tranked out. It sucks. It's sad. It hurts me. It hurts my soul to see that. And I wish we didn't see it. And so there's a part of me that has a lot of compassion for these people, their situations. I don't know their stories. You know what I mean? Drugs may be the best thing in their life, you know, considering where they came out of and abusive homes, and that comes in a variety of forms and fashions. So I'm not trying to shit on people that are down on their luck, but what I'm trying to say is that we need to stop normalizing this. We need to stop pretending like this is okay. It's not okay. It's a sign of distress. It's big red flashing lights saying, help, help, this is a problem. To have an area of people where everybody's fucked up and everybody is in the process of slow motion dying from these drugs, and you have to walk by it to get out of your apartment or to get to a cab or to go to your job or to take your kids to school, and they have to walk by and see that, and they're like, they're shooting up again. At some point, you get desensitized to it. That's my fear, really. But they're trying to normalize insanity. They're trying to normalize a lot of stuff. You remember when Tom DeLay, back in 2015, said that he sat through meetings? He was like the House Speaker of the House, leader of the minority for the Republican Party. And he said, I'm sitting in these meetings. And he gave this interview. You can watch it. It's on C-SPAN. He gave two of them that said the same thing in both of them. I'm sitting through these meetings, and from the Justice Department is what he said, which is weird. And they're talking about normalizing 12 perversions, including pedophilia and bestiality. Now, he gave that interview multiple times. I can't imagine what was going through the host's mind. Like, is this guy okay? Are you sure? You said, I mean, are you putting me on? Is this some just another politician lying to me about something? Like, what? And now fast forward from 2015 to today, I for one owe Tom DeLong. I don't know. Tom DeLong can go fuck himself. Going on Rogan and not telling him anything. Tom DeLay, I should say. I do owe an apology to. He was right. They are trying to normalize 12 perversions. It's pretty obvious. It's pretty fucking obvious. They're trying to normalize pedophilia. I mean, not the least of which is to cover the asses of all those people that Tom DeLay works with, right, in Washington, D.C. And we're supposed to pretend like they're not all a bunch of closeted pedophiles themselves. You're like, yes, we've got to protect all children. Sign this legislation. You know, Adam Schiff's like running, trafficking kids through the Standard Hotel, allegedly. With Ed Buck, definitely. He's right. They are trying to normalize 12 perversions. I just didn't think it was going to be like within 8 years. You know, I just thought like this, I thought maybe 80 years. Not that that would be good, but at least it would be really gradual. But this is part of the play. Part of the normalization process is to convince you of two things. First of all, that you're not seeing what you're seeing, right? You don't believe your eyes. That this insanity that you're seeing, all these people strung out, all these people looting the Foot Locker, you don't see that. But in the event that you do happen to see it, then we want you to see that. You know what I mean? For the general public, for the vast majority of people, they're just blind to it. They'll never see it, right? They don't want you to see it. They don't want you to see it, and these people will gladly not see it. But for those of you that actually do see what's going on, there's another side to these lunatics. They say, okay, well, for you, we want you to see it. You see what's going on? Oh, you're one of the few that actually does see what's going on? Good. What are you going to do about it? You're not going to do anything about it. So you're going to sit there and you're going to watch. You're going to watch like a cuck. You're going to sit there on the edge of the bed, sucking your thumb, watching this while the rest of society can't even see it. You want to talk about the psychological warfare want to talk about the process of demoralization. Holy shit. Yuri was right. It's happened. So they want you to see, they want us to see the dysfunction. They want us to see the complete incompetence of your elected officials. They want you to see that Justin Trudeau is a total loser who gets chewed out by Xi when they're in a meeting, and gets chewed out by Modi, and gets chewed out by everybody that he deals with. Everybody that Trudeau deals with, they yell at him when they're not ignoring him. They want you to see that. They want you to see that the leader of Canada is a tremendous pussy. What are you going to do about it? You're going to get rid of him? They want you to see that Mitch McConnell is glitching out, or as Steve from AM Wake Up calls him, Glitch McConnell. Perfect. They want you to see that. They want you to see Joe Biden shitting his pants with the Pope and getting lost on a stage and falling down, going up the stairs, and falling up, going down the stairs, and falling everywhere. And his dog biting Secret Service, and his kid smoking crack cocaine and ditching guns and getting paid off by the China. They want you to see it all. And they want you to understand something. You can't do anything about it. They're never going to be held accountable. It's not going to change. The only person in this equation that's going to have any repercussions is you. So you can either close your eyes and get with the program, go along to get along with all this nonsense, or if you decide to be awake to it and pay attention and open your eyes, then enjoy the show, because the show is meant for you. This is to remind you that you are ruled by fools and there's nothing you can do about it. When Karine Jean-Pierre, if you look up diversity hire in the dictionary, on the online dictionary, which I'm assume the definition is changing day by day as the ADL and WikiLeaks or Wikipedia manipulate it, right? But if you looked up diversity hire, there'd be a big picture of her with big red nose and clown makeup and a rainbow wig. That's her. A gigantic clown, completely and utterly over her head in that job. So incompetent that everybody knows it, including her. But they want you to see that. They don't even respect you enough to put a good liar in there. I mean, John Kirby from the State Department is a pathological liar. He's better at his job than Karine Jean-Pierre is, though. I mean, they bring him off the bench from time to time when she's struggling. Bring him out of the bullpen and say, go in there and finish up this week, because our diversity hire has short-circuited. She's got into another screaming match with Peter Ducey, who's destroying her with facts and logic. And I'm no Fox News fan, but, you know, could you imagine Matt Lee? I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's the guy that sits, he's the one reporter that sits in the corner during the State Department hearings and grills John Kirby and grills all the, and Jake Sullivan and all these talking heads that come out there and try to lie to people, and he sees right through it. Could you imagine what he would do to Karine Jean-Pierre? She'd never call on him, of course, because he'd destroy her, leave her in tears with her binder. But they want you to see that. They don't even respect you enough to put a good liar there. They don't care. They don't care if you know. They don't care if you know that the White House, the alleged Oval Office, is being filmed in a soundstage. They don't care. What are you going to do? You're going to call the manager of the White House and complain? I demand to see the manager. I believe there is some fuckery afoot. Yeah, a lot of it. And there's nothing you can do about it. They want you to watch this show. We have a mental health situation in this country. And, you know, listen, there's always been crazy people. There's always been bad seeds, people that grew up bad and never really had a chance and didn't have the right role models and in and out of jail. And, you know, there's always been that. And then there's always been the people that are just talking to their shoe on the street corner, you know, maybe did too much acid when they were a kid, maybe had a schizophrenic break. Like, you know, like if you have schizophrenia, and I know I have a buddy of mine who I grew up with that had it, and it comes, it hits you like in your 20s, and it's very sad and it's very debilitating and it's tough, and it feels like it's just like a random luck of the draw, because the guy I know wasn't doing anything in any particular way to make him more prone to that, not that I know of, but it, and it was subtle when you'd have the conversation and at the reunion and go, oof, there's a little something off, you know, I just want to hug the guy. You know, I don't want to shit on him. I want to hug him. I feel bad. So we've got a lot of mental illness. Okay. But then we also have magical thinking that feels like mental illness. You know, people that believe absurdities. And I'm not talking about, like, listen, we're in the alternative media. We are branded as conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat wearing crazy people that believe unusual things. So I'm fully prepared to defend myself for believing unusual things. But when you believe that men can get pregnant, you're sick in the head. Your brain is broken. You've been captured. It doesn't mean that it'll last forever. I think these are probably fixable, as opposed to, say, something like schizophrenia, where I don't know that there's necessarily a fix to this. I think that's more of like a physical ailment, whereas the woke ideology is more just like mind poison, where you could maybe hopefully get it to wear off at some point. But this past generation that's just come out of college is, statistically speaking, very weak mentally. They're very fragile. They can't. It's mental health breaks. When did that start? I don't remember having mental health breaks. I don't remember getting a day off from school for mental health. I don't remember ever being able to pull off going to the nurse's office and saying, I need a mental health break. It'd have been great. I probably would have tried it if I thought I could get away with it. But I never, that was not a thing. Now, I just need a mental health day. Okay, fine. I guess, maybe. If you broke your leg, you'd get some time off for, you know, for your broken leg. Maybe you've broken your brain or sprained your brain or whatever, and you need a day off or something. Okay, fine. But it always feels like bullshit to me. It just really does. Like, are you sad? Did your girlfriend dump you? I've had all those things. It's tough. It sucks. You don't want to get up and go to work, but you do, because if you don't, your boss isn't going to believe when you say, I'm sorry, you need a mental health break. What? Because your girlfriend dumped you, and we're supposed to fall behind here at the widget making company because you're sad? Get your ass to work or find another job. Whatever happened to that? Now you can't fire anybody for that. Now that's like a protected class. Like, he fired me because I was having a mental health issue. It's like, oh shit, here come the lawsuits. Why? Safe spaces? Colleges are promoting this. I've heard of several colleges that were like, we have, not only do we have safe spaces, we have the best safe spaces you can find. And people are supposed to, and like, that's supposed to be good. Like, as a parent, I'm supposed to be, oh, this is a fantastic institution to prepare you for the real world where there aren't any safe spaces. I mean, who knows? Maybe there are now. But that is a cop-out. A safe space because a professor made you read a book that had the N-word in it because it was written in like the 1860s. And now are you that fragile? Because if you're that fragile, you're going to be unemployable, just so you know. These college years, this is the time when you toughen up a little bit. This is the time when you try new things, get exposed to new ideas, meet different people, meet people from around the world, live away from home, and sort of figure stuff out. This is when you get this opportunity. If you are spending that time in a safe space sucking your thumb because somebody said that men can't have babies, you're broken. You're missing the whole point of college. Hell, you're missing the whole point of life. Life is, you're supposed to toughen yourself up as you go, not weaken yourself through nonsense, microaggressions. You might have noticed the name of this show. It came out of the fact that there is an actual term called a microaggression. Somebody committed a microaggression against me. Oh, what did they do? Well, I held the door for them and they didn't say thank you. Like, that's your complaint? This is your grievance? Go tell it to Frank Costanza. Somebody committed a microaggression against me and now I feel all icky inside. Tough shit. Get a hold of yourself, you know? What about this? What about the very real emergence of anti-anxiety drugs, antipsychotics, SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors? Do you know that when you look back through the list of the school shooters, I mean the actual ones, not the ones that were manufactured by the feds, well, even those too, they're all on SSRI drugs. You know that, right? All of them. Like, I don't know that there is one single person that wasn't on those drugs. School shootings, delusional thinking, psychotic breaks. And for the record, after we went through COVID and we saw supply chain issues, just understand that China makes 97% of all the antibiotics that Americans use. They make 90% of the antidepressants. With some of these drugs, you cannot come off of them all at once. If you are on benzos, it will kill you to come off of them all at once. That's why you have Jordan Peterson disappearing to Russia for like 6 months to get off of it, because you have to do it slowly. What happens when China decides that they don't want to send us drugs anymore because, you know, one of Joe Biden's guys said, we'll nuke you or something? And they go, oh yeah, we'll cut off your, you know what? In fact, we're done. We're done sending you drugs. Good luck. Get them from India if you can. They can't make them fast enough for you. They represent 10% of the market. You need 100% of the market. Good luck. Now what? Now we have universities filled with kids coming off their meds. But even then, even if you still have access to it, let's just say that the supply chain is fine. And you still have access to these drugs. That's not great either. They screw up your brain. They mess with your brain chemistry. They have unpredictable results. They don't fix people. They keep you just sane enough for some people that you don't feel the depression, but you don't also feel anything. Great. You've dropped a neutron bomb on a nuclear bomb on a hostage situation, and you've wiped out everything. There's no up or down. It's just blah. It explains a lot. It explains a lot of NPCs that you see out there. They're just zoned out on antipsychotics. And a lot of people are on them. Back in 2014, 19% of the people 65 and older were on antidepressants. Let's just round up. I mean, it's close enough. 20%, 1 in 5, 65 and older. Why are you so sad? I mean, there's a lot of reasons, right? But do you think that happiness is found at Pfizer in a pill? Have they really convinced you? Are you that detached from reality that you actually think you're going to find happiness in a pill? It's going to work for you. It has never worked for anybody, but it's going to work for you this time, right? People age 45 to 64, so just one notch below that senior level. They're on pills at 17.5%. That's 1 in 6. So 1 in 6 in their from their mid-40s to their mid-60s, 1 in 5 from their mid-60s on. It's not good. It's not good, and it's not sustainable. And when you've got a lot of people, and listen, those people are out there driving cars. They're interacting with you on a daily basis. They are teaching your kids. They're almost all teaching your kids. You know, those libs of TikTok videos where you see the non-binary giraffe gendered retard out there saying, hey, I'm going to come out to my third grade class and tell them that I'm non-binary giraffe gender and everything. And you look in their eyes and you go, you're out of your fucking gourd on pills. I can see it in your eyes. You shouldn't be let anywhere near kids. You should be institutionalized for your own safety and for the safety of those around you. And yet, here you are, you're teaching kids? Like, we send our kids to school and they're trapped with you? No. Well, let's talk about the other sort of mental health that isn't going to actually get diagnosed as a mental illness, but it might as well be. Let's talk about people that insist on using pronouns. What does that tell you about that person? I see it as a sign of weakness. I see it as an easily controllable, easily manipulated person. I've talked about this with regard to the real estate industry that I work in. And if I got on the other end of a transaction with an agent and I saw pronouns in their bio, in their email signature, I'd just be like, oh, we're going to grind the fuck out of this guy or girl or giraffe or whatever it is. Because I know I can push them around because I know that they're weak. I know that they're easily manipulated. It tells me a lot. And the insistence on the pronouns, you know, and I've joked about it, and I will continue to joke about it because it's fucking hilarious. Let's be honest, the pronoun thing. But on a serious note, you make inferences about people based on what you see right off the bat. And if I meet somebody and they introduce themselves and they say, you can use they, them pronouns with me, I have an idea of what I'm working with. It ain't good. That if it were a hiring situation, it'd be automatic disqualification. I'd just be like, this isn't going to, you're not going to be a good fit here. Culturally, you're not going to be a fit. Business-wise, I wouldn't put someone out on the front line with pronouns in their signature. Holy shit, they'd get destroyed. That person should never do. I don't know who you're trying to make happy. I don't know who you're trying to please or bow down to or show this fake respect to by putting pronouns in your signature. The only thing I see is this is a person that's confused about whether they're a man or a woman. And if that's the case, you got bigger problems than dealing with me in a real estate transaction. You know what I mean? Or anybody that I know, you know, I mean, it's a sign. It's a symptom of a much bigger problem with the person. It shows you that they're weak, or it shows you that they're being forced into it by their bosses, which is also a sign of weakness too. You know, but anyway, people are going to judge you based on that, whether they should or shouldn't. Maybe you've got a gun to your head and you have to put it in your email signature. I don't know how that would work. Maybe you work for some big corporation and they just insist on it. Well, again, I'm going to make some inferences about you based on that, based on your physical appearance. You look like a slob with half pink fuchsia hair and half purple hair with 18 nose rings, and you want to sell me something. What? Why would I buy this from you? You are an extension of the product or service, and you look like a fucking mess. So therefore, how much confidence could I have in the product or service? They clearly aren't hiring the best and brightest in this particular instance, because you look like the last person that came in. You know, we got to hire somebody. I guess it'll be this person, right? But we've become, they're trying to normalize this. They're trying to make you say, no, you're wrong. How dare you for judging these people? Out of control wokeness is a cancer. It's a cancer that is spreading. It's a cancer that is it's starting with these young kids, and my fear is that it's going to be normalized for the generation that comes after them. You know, this idea of this woke ideology, it's antithetical to success. I'll just tell you this right now, that if you're out in the real working world and somebody is like, excuse me, it's they, them, you just be like, fuck you, you're fired. You know what I mean? Perhaps you didn't get the memo. We're not doing that stuff anymore, you know? But it's the normalization of insanity, because they really want this, they want society to disintegrate at the lower levels. And I think it is. So I guess you have to ask yourself this. Why are you seeing what you're seeing? Why are you watching 7 million illegal aliens cross the border? Why? They could, if they wanted to, make sure that you didn't see that. I mean, when Joe Biden came to town, they hid all of them from him. Remember that? That they made him not see them. If the media wanted to not show that, they would stop sending camera crews down there. They do want you to see it. Why is that? They want you to feel a certain way. They want you to feel a certain way about the people that are coming across too. They want you to feel resentment, and they want that to just sort of brew inside of you. They want you to see those people, and they want you to think, how dare they? How dare they come in up here? How dare they come across this? Imagine this. Imagine you've followed the immigration, legal immigration process to a T, and spent a bunch of money and spent a bunch of time and gone through the frustration of that. You've done interviews with the immigration officers and you're in this process and it's taken forever. And you've spent tens of thousands of dollars and you've had to fly to this place and go meet with this guy at this office and you've had to do all this bureaucratic nonsense. And then 7 million people walk right in the back door. Not only that, given cell phones, given debit cards, given a bus ride wherever they want to go if they're not being flown there in the middle of the night, given healthcare, given a place to stay, given food, given clothing, given medical care, given toiletries, given a place to stay, like in a hotel or in a center somewhere. Did they offer you any of that when you were filling out your legal immigration process paperwork? Did they offer you any of those things? No. No, they told you it's going to take 5 years, if you're lucky. But we'll let them in and treat them better than the people that are actual citizens. So Texas has a problem, right? They're all coming across the Texas border. But Texas, the state, is not authorized to deport them back to Mexico, the country. That's a federal job. So Texas, so for those that are saying, why doesn't Texas just send them all back? They would love to. They cannot. So once they're in Texas, then they're in the United States. And Texas can't handle them, so they have to make a decision. Well, maybe we'll send them somewhere else. So they sent them to New York and Chicago and San Francisco and LA and Denver and they've sent them places. Martha's Vineyard, that was fun. Now, I have to state this on the record, and I think I say this every time. The idea of using human beings as political pawns is disgusting to me. It really is. I hate it. And I don't ever want to give politicians credit for anything. I think that they're scumbags. I think the vast majority of them should be locked up for what they've done and for what they vote for. In this particular case, if you're Texas and you're overwhelmed, and you cannot send them back, and they have to go somewhere, and you don't want them there, and even if you wanted them there, you physically cannot take anymore, they've got to go somewhere. So where would you send them? Would you, if you are a Republican state like Texas, would you send them to another Republican state and burden them, or would you send them to a Democratic state or Democratic city? Well, you'd send them to especially a Democratic city like New York City. It says, we're a sanctuary city. Really? A sanctuary city, a name so dripping with propaganda that Yuri would be proud. Oh, you're a sanctuary city, are you? Then how come Mayor Eric Adams has said, you've got to stop sending them here? I thought you were a sanctuary city. I mean, aren't you guys dislocating your shoulder by patting yourself on the back for being so amazingly hospitable to these people? Oh, but now you're done with them? I'm sorry. You're a sanctuary city. Guess what? We've got more arrivals coming. We're going to drop them all off in one spot, and then they can just kind of mull around out there. And then you deal with it, right? He's had a meltdown. Eric Adams had a meltdown. He said in front of a town hall or something, I always find solutions to problems. I have always found solutions to problems. This is one problem I cannot see a solution to. Now, maybe he's grandstanding. Maybe he's trying to shake down the Biden administration for more money. He's probably doing all those things, but I think he's also right. I think he realizes what's going on. New York City is falling apart under the weight of its own hypocrisy. And the bill has come due. You know what the bill is? Over the next 3 years, the hotel bill in New York City for the migrants will be $1 billion over 3 years. That works out to, did the math, $27 million a month, or roughly $1 million a day, every day, for the next 3 years. New York City is going to spend $1 million a day for the next 3 years on hotel rooms alone for illegal aliens. Thank you for being a sanctuary city, I guess. But that's just hotel rooms. And that's just one part of this whole thing. The entire influx is going to cost New York City $12 billion over 3 years. $12 billion. So if you're spending $1 million on hotels a day, you're going to spend another $11 million a day on all the ancillary things like food, clothing, and medical supplies and other factors. $325 million a month, every month, for 3 years. Now, if you live in New York City, or even if you just imagine that you do, I don't think it's going to be too difficult to envision a different way of spending $325 million a month every month for the next 36 months. You could spend it on anything. Anything else would be better. You could spend it to fix the roads. You could spend it to clean up the city. You could spend it to build a building every month for 36 months. $325 million will get you quite a bit. But instead, they're spending it on housing Venezuelan criminals. And I'm not trying to say that everybody that came over from Venezuela is a criminal, but let me remind you that the United States started fucking with Venezuela. And Venezuela said, oh yeah, you're going to try and overthrow our government, and you're going to try and steal our oil, and you're going to try and mess with our elections, and you're going to try and do all this stuff to us. You know what we have planned for you? We are going to go to our prisons, and guess what? It's happy birthday, everybody. You're getting out of prison and you're going to America. And they unloaded all the hardcore criminals from their prison systems, and they sent them to the border, the United States, and they said, have fun in America. So when I say Venezuelan criminals, I'm not referring to everybody from Venezuela, and I'm not trying to say that being from Venezuela makes you a criminal. I am specifically talking about the Venezuelan criminals that they let out of prison. A two for one. Can you imagine? It's brilliant, frankly. You know, talk about asymmetric warfare. Holy shit. Venezuela just got rid of their prison, their hardcore gang prison population problem, freed up a bunch of space in their prisons, and then gave it to America and said, you deal with these people. And we're treating them like kings. Remember, we're going to stay in New York because there's plenty to talk about there. Did you see AOC? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a lady so incompetent that she, last I checked, I think it was 28 pieces of legislation she'd brought to be voted on, and none of them passed. Her ideas are too fucking stupid even for American politics. She's having a town hall, sort of like a similar thing to what Eric Adams, I don't even know if it's a town hall. It sounds more like, it's more like a bunch of people accosting her on the street, like screaming at her. And her response is, she doesn't care what they want. She said that she is going to make sure that those people that just came in are her priority, and that she wants to make sure that not only are they given benefits, she said, we want to find them all jobs. So she's saying the quiet part out loud. She doesn't care about her actual constituents. That should be obvious, but for the record, she doesn't. She said, I'm not going to stop what we're doing. She said, those people are the priority. And she said, we're going to give them your jobs. Then she told them it wasn't up for debate. So again, this is being made to happen. You understand?
Now you've got the black people in Chicago angry at the mayor because of the brown people that they brought in. So now you've got these groups fighting with each other. The existing black people in Chicago show up at a big meeting and start screaming at the mayor, who's also black, telling him, how dare you bring all these people in and give them services? We can't get any services. His response was the same as AOC. They're here to stay. We're going to take care of them. They're trying to destroy the country, and they want you to see it, and they want you to know it. They didn't even lie to those people and say, no, we're not doing any of those things. We love you the most. No, they didn't say that. They said, goddamn right, we're treating these people like kings. You're upset about it? Tough. What are you going to do? You're going to vote me out of office? Now I'm a brand name. I'm AOC. I'll get in just based on the fact that people recognize my name. That's reality. They want you to resent these people from Central America. They want you to. Because if you resent them, then you'll fight with them. And that's what this is all about. It's about destabilizing this country. It's about getting you fighting with these people and not paying attention to who's really the problem, the people up above you. Poor black people fighting with poor brown people that have just been shipped in does nobody any good. It just keeps you busy and on the reservation, never figuring out what the game is. Those people are pawns. They used you to get into office. Then once they were in office, they opened the floodgates and allowed a bunch of illegals to come in. They're going to give them citizenship. They're going to grant them the ability to vote. Not that it matters, because they'll still have rigged these voting machines as they always do. But again, they shake up. They got the jar with the red ants and the black ants, and they shake it up and watch a fight. Let's talk about the normalization of magical thinking. Okay. There's a lot of this going on. It's an epidemic. It's kind of hilarious too, if I'm being fully honest, because magical thinking is sort of funny. And you start to understand the level of respect that they have for you, or I should say really lack of respect that they have for you. But at least you know where you stand on this scale of, like, they fully respect me and would never lie to my face, to they don't care at all. And where you fall on this scale depends on what sort of grift you fall for, right? But there's one component that they really know. It's keep it simple. Keep the message really simple. You're not dealing with high IQ people here. You're dealing with very mid people, mid to lower intelligence level, which is the bulk of the general public. You know, the bulk of the general public is under 100 IQ. And so with that, you can fool them really. Those are the people that play three-card Monte and lose and don't understand the game. This is when you're talking to those people. The Bolsheviks understood this back in with the Bolshevik Revolution. They knew that 70% of the peasant farmers couldn't read. So you had to make it, you had to make the signs very... very short and sweet, and the slogans catchy and not too complicated. I stand with Ukraine, right? Do you understand? You understand where that comes from? 2 weeks to flatten the curve, mostly peaceful protests with fire, with buildings burning down in the background. Now, when you and I see that, we have a good laugh because it's so preposterous that they would be saying mostly peaceful protests while there's actually buildings burning behind them. And by the way, it wasn't just once that this happened. There's multiple clips of this too. But think about that. Think about the person that works on. Think about that person that you're dealing with who goes, correct, mostly peaceful protests. They were mostly peaceful. You know what? You're right. They were mostly peaceful. Now that I think about it, they were mostly peaceful protests. It's like, hey man, do you see that he's standing in front of a burning building? And they're like, mostly peaceful protests. And you, okay, so vaccines will protect me and protect you. You know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. These catchy slogans that are used for dum-dums to get them to do things. And you see it, you'll see more of it. You have to. You're being, listen, we went through almost an entire year of dancing nurses to promote COVID, to promote a vaccine. We then saw that, and again, I've talked about this a lot, but I want you to really think about this for a second. They told you that if you would get a vaccine to improve your health, they would give you a Krispy Kreme glazed donut every day for the rest of the year to improve your health. So it's, you look at the propaganda and you go, this is so obviously dumb. It's so obviously backwards. It's crazy. It's so dumb that it's comical. It's that, you know, it's like, it's so stupid that it's funny. But you know what isn't funny? That there is a gigantic percentage of the population that didn't understand that it was funny and took it seriously and believed it and said, oh yeah, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Thank you for taking your shot for protecting me. You wear your mask to protect me. I wear my mask to protect you. You know, those were mostly peaceful protests. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, like I stand with Ukraine, you know, and you realize that this is the normalization of magical thinking. That if they can get you to a place where you don't even recognize how hysterical this comedy show is, that you take that you're watching the show and you're getting a whole different version than I'm getting, they've got you. You know? The media, you know, the there were violent clashes of people versus the cops, Antifa versus people that shower, you know, all kinds of fights going on. And they wanted you to see that. They wanted it portrayed as normal. You know, oh, just another day in clown world. The autonomous zone of Chaz and Chop. Remember that? They changed the name. Like, oh, what are you guys doing in there? I'm growing a tomato plant. Like, bro, it's a cardboard pizza box with dirt on it. What are you doing? You know, I'm growing my food. And you look at this and you go, I'm being made to see this for a reason. Am I supposed to give up on humanity? Because I'm pretty close. If that's what you're trying to do, it's working. I'm just about to get on a spaceship and get the fuck off of this planet. I can't share it with these people anymore. Protect trans kids. You know, keep it simple, stupid. You know, I stand with Ukraine. These are people that are easily manipulated. Again, these slogans, they're not for us. They're not directed at us. They know anybody with a functioning brain isn't going to fall for this stuff. They're not trying to target us. They'll never get us. They know that. They understand. They've made the calculations. They've role-played this. They've game-theoried this. They know. Certain amount, never going to buy it. Don't even waste your time with them. What you're seeing is propaganda that's not meant for you. It's meant for the dummies. And what your reaction to that is like, there's no way this can work. And then you look around, you go, I stand corrected. Apparently it can. We've got a new sort of concept here. I'm just going to call it climate Marxism. I think that works well. Financed through NGOs like Open Society and all of this stuff. And you hear it because I recognize Marxist language during these speeches, but the context is climate related. So when Barack Obama gets up on a stage and tells the crowd, I want you to, he's talking about climate change, which is totally fake. As fake as Obama's presidency and his wife. When he says, I want you to stay angry, I want you to stay frustrated, that's struggle session shit. This is what Marxists tell kids to get them riled up, get them in a frenzy. That they want you to stay angry and they want you to stay frustrated and they want you to fight, fight, fight. What did Bezmenov say? That's part of the process, is to get you always fighting about this guy, about that. It doesn't even matter what you're fighting about. We just want you to fight. We want you to be in a mentality that you are always on edge and you always have to fight. And so when Obama's talking about climate change, does he say, don't throw your trash in the ocean? Don't pour your used motor oil in the storm drain and into the water system? No. He says, I want you to stay angry. I want you to stay frustrated. Like that's some sort of solution. Because it's not about solutions. It's about putting you in a frame of mind where you are angry and fighting and looking for an enemy. Gavin Newsom, soon to be president of the United States. I'm not trying to speak this into existence, but you all know it's true. Just signed a law requiring all California schools to add a third bathroom. How much does this cost? Have we run the numbers on that? How many schools are there in California? I grew up in California. How many schools? It's a big state. Got a lot of people there. There's at least 20 million people in California. Probably more like 30. Well, I don't know. Who knows now that they're all leaving? Who's paying for this? Who's paying for the third bathrooms to be installed? You don't just snap your fingers and magically there's a third bathroom. You have to build it. You have to replumb it. You have to bring water. There's a lot going on. You have to put a roof. I mean, who's paying for it? Where are we getting this money from? This is California that is also telling the Black community that they're going to pay them reparations of $5 million per person. And you just go, does anybody in the state of California, in the governor's office, own a calculator? Have you done, did you take Common Core math?
Well, actually, if I show my work, then that's all that matters.
California, that is mandating that you go to electric cars by 2035 in a state that's electric grid can't handle just a traditional normal August afternoon in LA. It's overheated. It's overworked. Too many people firing up their air conditioners. Too many people having, you know, pesky things like refrigerators. How long until air conditioners are banned? Serious question. They've already banned gas leaf blowers in California.
That's saving the world.
They banned trucks. They're banning cars. This is not how you run a productive society. This is the normalization of insanity. They want you to think that this is normal. There's nothing normal about any of this. These people have lost their minds. They've lost their minds. Carbon zero. We're going to get to carbon zero. No, you are not. You are never getting to carbon zero. Ever. Under any circumstances. It's delusional, magical thinking. Disguised as some sort of green revolution.
We're just going to have electric vehicles and then we're not going to run them on gas. We're going to run them on electric and that's going to save the pollution, the air pollution.
Where does that electricity come from, dummy? From burning coal. 80% of the electricity is from burning coal. The other 20% is from nuclear, which nobody wants to talk about. Isn't that funny? You would think that the greenies would want to talk about nuclear since you can run it forever and it doesn't pollute and you can build 100 of them and it would take care of all the power needs for, you know, I think we have 100 of them and I think you'd need to build 200 more, right? If you did that, then all the power needs for the entire country would be taken care of. No, I take that back. You need to get to 500. You need to get to 500 of them and we have like 100. Whatever. Start building them. Can't do that. California, I feel like I'm picking on New York and California. And maybe they deserve it. I guess when you do an episode talking about the normalization of insanity and magical thinking, I guess how can you not talk about New York and California and Chicago? California will now take your child from you if you do not affirm their gender. Gavin Newsom just signed that. I want you to hear that again. The state will come to your house and kidnap your kid if you don't allow them to transition genders while at a school that's getting its third bathroom installed currently and being taught by a teacher who's on four different SSRIs and has an Instagram account dedicated to her cat. If you don't agree that your 7-year-old boy now needs to be a seven-year-old girl, Gavin Newsom's Child Protective Services goons will steal and kidnap your kid and you'll never see him again. And if you question that, or if you have a problem with that, you're a transphobe and a bigot, and you should probably be in jail. Do you understand why I feel like I'm taking crazy pills? How can you not? Fetterman the slob. And I'm a t-shirt and shorts guy. Don't get me wrong. Chuck Schumer normalizes it. Chuck Schumer and his dual loyalties, I should add, normalizes it. Why? Can I ask you a question? Why? They're reversing it now, but why did Chuck Schumer make it so that John Fetterman can show up to the Senate in shorts, high tops, and a hooded sweatshirt? Why? Because they want you to see it. They want you to see that everything is falling apart. They want you to see that a brain dead retard like John Fetterman, who pulled a shotgun on a black guy jogging in his neighborhood, by the way, they don't talk about that, pulled a shotgun on him, chased him down the street with it. They want you to see that there's no suit and tie anymore. There's no decorum. There's no dress code. There's no nothing. They want you to see it. This insanity is on full display. You see the kids that in Vegas that ran over the guy on the bike while filming it, saying that they're just looking for a white guy to kill. That kid gets locked up. During his interrogation, he tells the cop, "I'll be out in 30 days. You know what? He's probably right. They want you to see it. Why'd that video make that? I mean, it was gross. And you know what they did? They then when they arrested the guys, a black kid and a Hispanic kid, they then called the Hispanic kid white. They put him in the system as white. It's like, he's like Julio Vargas or something like that. And you're like, really? Really? White? I mean, in the end, you see what they're doing. They're lying. They're lying about everything. They want you to know. Speaking of kids that go to prison, get arrested for running people over and murdering them, and then knowing that they'll get out of jail, let's talk about a concept called critical legal theory. You've heard of critical race theory. Have you heard of critical legal theory? I assure you, it will infuriate you to the point that critical race theory did too. And it's just as fake. But understand this. I want you to hear the concept behind it and then just incorporate this into the back of your mind when dealing with things. Victims should blame society because there's no accountability anymore. What critical legal theory says is that the middle class deserves more violence, just like the lower class, in order for things to be fair. Do you get that? Do you understand that? It's your turn, middle class. It won't happen to the upper class. They'll hire private security and they'll have these people shot on sight. But the middle class, you deserve more violence because the lower class has always dealt with violence. Now it's your turn. They don't want equality. They want payback. They want revenge. That's what they want. This is not about being equal. This is about getting you back. Chicago, Los Angeles, Oakland, San Francisco, Philadelphia, New York City, woke mayors, woke district attorneys, making all of this happen. Again, CVS, the drugstore, one of the drugstores, kind of like a Walgreens here, closing 900 stores. That's 10% of the stores that they have. 900 stores will be closed by the end of 2024 due to crime. Target shutting down 9 stores in major cities due to crime. Would you like to guess where they are? San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia. Didn't I just mention those with the woke mayors and district? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the same cities. $112 billion in retail theft in the last year. They want you to see that the edges are coming apart, that the seams are unglued. Canada invites a Nazi to speak to their parliament about financing Nazis in Ukraine, I guess, right? They brought an actual Nazi in. They say, this hero was fighting against the Russians. And you go, who else? Wait, who was fighting against the Russians? The Germans. Oh, shit. So you brought a German in? No, no, no. We brought a Waffen SS officer in. You know the reason they hate Russia so much? You know the reason why he was fighting against Russia in World War II? Because he was a Nazi. And you remember that the Nazis fought against Russia and that we fought against the Nazis too. We were on the same side as Russia. I know that Vladimir Putin is apparently the actual devil, but just remember, World War II would have ended a whole lot differently if it hadn't been for Russia. In fact, Russia won that war. Let's be honest. You know, I mean, I'd love to say America did, but America parachuted at the last minute in Europe, at least. Can't speak for the Pacific, but it's frustrating. Canada invites an actual Nazi to speak their parliament while shutting down the trucker convoy and calling them Nazis when they weren't. It's clown world. It's the slow creep. It's the totalitarian tiptoe that we hear so much about, you know? Here's what to look for. Just sort of as an aside, when dealing with these leftist lunatics, if when they start to talk to you about their ideology and their ideas, and you say, I'm not doing this, this is crazy, you sound unhinged, their response to you is this: oh, there must be some misunderstanding. They always think that there's a misunderstanding on your part. I want to talk to you. I want to clarify this misunderstanding. Oh, no. There's no misunderstanding. I heard you the first time. I heard what you want. I heard what you want to do to this country. I heard what you think about children, what you think about the United States borders, what you want to do. I heard all, there's no misunderstanding at all. They will insist that there is a misunderstanding. No. Maybe I just haven't explained it to you well enough. There must be some misunderstanding. There is no misunderstanding. The problem is your ideas are crazy. And we're telling you your ideas are crazy. If you're AOC, you take your ideas, you know, you get into politics and you take them up and you say, I'm going to craft all this legislation. And then none of it gets passed. Do you know why? Because your ideas are stupid and crazy. So let me just be clear. There is no misunderstanding on our end here. We understand what's going on. The misunderstanding is all happening on the left. You can see where this normalization is heading. They're trying to convince you to not believe your own eyes. Don't let them get away with it. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Have you rated the show? Give me 5 stars if you think I've earned it, for God's sake. We're trying to fight the algorithm war. Come to Anarchapulco. I'd love to see you out there. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Macro Aggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.